doing a violent episode this week.
No, we're
doing
killing.
A weird episode this week. We're going to chill. No murder. Well, actually, there is death in mine, but like, I just can't
help
it.
There's death in them all, but like, yeah, some you can laugh about because they're ridiculous.
I mean, oh.
It's like, ah, you got swallowed by a monster.
Literally.
Unfortunately, that's not the case with mine. It actually ends quite grim, but like, eh.
Oh.
Yeah, so will we get into this? I'll start doing the roll, see which one of y'all bitches gets to go first.
Yes, we have to stay on brand.
Bear with me, I have lost the dice. There we go.
And that is also on brand.
Of course. Every time, I always roll wrong. I'm just amazing at it. Dun, 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 dun. It's a 4, so it's Quiva. So let's dive in.
Oh my god, it actually works. I'm doing the cracking. Don't dive in.
Yeah, the opposite, yeah, don't dive in.
Okay, so I'm doing the cracking, and most of it is just like, well, it's obviously not first person reference because anyone who's seen the cracking is probably dead.
Yes.
But it's more like the people who survived told the story, and then the smart lads of their time wrote fancy books about it.
The smart scholars.
So, the scholars of Scandinavia. Okay. So the Kraken is a legendary cephalopod-like sea monster. So like it's a squid, octopus, you know, those weird kind of squishy animals. According to the Norse saga, so like, you know, the stories about their
gods
history
and stuff.
And,
yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. The Kraken dwells off the coast of Norway and Greenland and terrorizes nearby sailors. Authors over the years, so like lads writing their fancy books, have kind of theorized that the legend might have came from people seeing the, you know, the giant squids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's the giant squid and there's the colossal squid.
Sick looking.
They're like the same, they're the same length, but the colossal squid just has like a way bigger, that body head thing.
I was going to say tip, but that is completely wrong.
The dome, their dome is way bigger, but the giant squid has way longer tentacles. So like,
right.
Either way.
6 1/2
They can grow
up
to about 40 or 50 feet.
That's
so,
disgusting.
Yeah.
Insanely big.
It's massive, like. So people think, you know, back then they think that that's where the Kraken came from.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
They just didn't recognise
the sailors sailing around saw them because I think the colossal squid lives in, is it Antarctica is up north? Yeah. It
yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
That's where
yeah.
the colossal squid lives, apparently. Could be wrong. I think I read that somewhere. So it would make sense. Okay. The Kraken has been the focus of many superstitious sailors passing the North Atlantic and especially sailors from the Nordic countries due to their proximity and its Scandinavian origin. So like that they were close to the area where it apparently lives, basically.
Right.
Apparently like they were able to tell how good a sailor was at telling tall tales. You know the way sailors, we, you know,
oh, they have their songs
their
and stuff.
Sailor
songs,
that they be telling their ghosty stories
at the best.
Oh, yeah. Sea shanties are everything.
Love them.
They're amazing. It was one of the measures of how good you were at telling a spooky story.
Right.
If you were able to tell a good story about the giant monster squid thing.
Okay.
So, yeah. To give you like a bit of backstory, the English word kraken is taken from the modern Scandinavian languages, originating from the old Norse word kraki. In Norwegian and Swedish, it refers to an unhealthy animal or something twisted.
Oh.
Yeah, so something like...
putrid.
Dirty, basically, like something disgusting, like a weird animal. In modern German, kraki means octopus, but can also refer to the kraken. It also means octopus in Norwegian, and it's an old like euphemism in Swedish for whales because they had to stop using the actual word because it became like taboo. So think like Harry Potter, you know who, you couldn't say Voldemort because
it
like summoned the Kraken. If you said Kraken when you were on the boat, it would like...
Oh my God, the sea equivalent to Beetlejuice.
Oh my God, right. Do you reckon, right?
Yeah, literally.
Some pissed off like housewife. Her husband was going out to sail the seas and she goes like, do you know what? I am actually sick of him. And then we're just standing on the sea like, Kraken!
Release the Kraken!
Or if your kids are acting the bollocks on the beach, Kraken!
Kraken after you.
I'll call him. So yeah, they decided to stop. They stopped using the word because obviously they were that scared of it, which is kind of weird. They were not weird, but they were that scared of it that it was like the Voldemort
of
fucking Sweden. Sorry.
Well, I mean, they both look like squids. Like, did you see the state of his nose?
I mean, fair. Exactly.
So there was an anonymous author, and he wrote like this. I don't know how to pronounce this. Konungus Skuskaja.
Yes.
1250. He was an anonymous. I don't want to say he. They were an anonymous author of this old Norwegian educational text that spoke about like, you know, history of Norway, blah, 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 maps and shit like that, you know. The educational text, I'm not trying to say it again, described in detail, like, the appearance, like, the physical appearance and feeding habits of the animals. The author did a trip to went on a trip to Greenland and came back and wrote the book and included the Kraken in it and said this is what it looked like. They suggested that there might only be two in existence and that they were unable to reproduce because they were only ever sighted in the same areas of the Greenland Sea, and the numbers never seemed to increase. Like, people weren't seeing them anymore.
Okay.
As you would expect, if right. numbers...
Yeah, there was like a vast amount of them.
Yeah, he was kind of suggesting that there was two kind of max, and there wasn't, they weren't able to have baby squids because there was no more numbers, unless they were like migrating, and that's where like the old Krakens went to live or some shit. I don't know, but that's just what he.
Old Kraken retirement.
Oh my god!
I love it.
I just seen what like little glasses.
I'm off to Greenland.
And scooting along the sea floor with like a Zimmer frame. No,
using like
using his little tentacles.
Yeah, like seaweed to knit for their grandchildren.
This
like,
is a cartoon so that I want and that I need.
Yeah,
yeah, it's possible. Well, actually, now that I'm just thinking, the Greenland Sea would have been warmer than the Antarctic Sea, that maybe when they got older and got bigger, that the seas were too cold for them, that they moved a bit further south, and that's why they were spotted.
Quite possibly.
Is Greenland not freezing though as well? Because remember, it's like Greenland, even though it's like says Greenland is full of ice.
Oh yeah, Greenland is the one that's covered in ice, and Iceland is the one that's greenish.
I have a big long quote here because he describes it in the book, and it says there is a fish that is still unmentioned, which is scarcely advisable to speak about on account of its size, because it would seem to most people incredible. So basically, if you talk about it, people are going to think you're talking shit.
Yeah.
There are only very few who can speak upon it clearly, because it is seldom near land, nor appears where it may be seen by fishermen. And I suppose there are not many of this sort of fish in the sea. Most often in our tongue, we call it hafgufa, which translates to sea mist, or, you know, they meant kraken, basically.
Very
fucking ominous.
Yeah.
Nor can I conclusively speak about his length in ells, because at times he has shown before men he has appeared more like land than like fish. They said that people who saw it said that he's the back of the Kraken looked like mountains.
Oh shit.
Whoa.
So you know in like, you know in like Avatar on that like massive turtle.
The lion turtle, yes.
Neither have I heard that one had been caught or found dead, and it seems to me as though there must be no more than two in the oceans, and I deem that each is unable to reproduce itself, for I believe that they are always the same ones. Then too, neither would it do for other fish if the hafgufa were of such a number as other whales on account of their vastness, you know, that they and how much substance that they need, so that they eat too much if there was too many of them.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
which is also a thing that maybe they did reproduce, but there wasn't enough food to feed the young.
The young, so they died out. Yeah.
So either they died out, or kind of like goldfish, that they don't get bigger than what's available to them. So they won't outgrow a tank, or they won't... If there's not enough food, they won't
get
bigger.
Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It is said to be the nature of these fish that when one shall desire to eat, that it stretches up its neck with a great belching, thought of ye, and following belching comes forth much food, so that all kinds of fish that are near to hand will come to present location, then will gather together, both small and large, believing they shall obtain their food and good eating. But this great fish lets its mouth stand open the while, and the gap is no less wide than that of a great sounder bite. So a bite... and sound are like fucking inlays. You know, like on cliffs, how there's like the big dip that goes inland?
Mm-hmm.
There's a word for it, I can't remember. It said its mouth was that big, that wide. That all the fish, it would get sick, puke all up its food. Loads of fish from everywhere around would be like, oh my God, snacks. Come, eat. He'd leave its mouth open, so when all the fish would gather,
he'd
wait enough time. And, okay, I'll keep going. And nor the fish avoid running together there in their great numbers, but as soon as its stomach and mouth is full, then it locks together its jaws and has the fish all caught and enclosed that before greedily came looking for food. So he'd leave its mouth open, puke up all its food, and then all the fish would come and he'd go and catch them all.
Like, ha, tricky.
Yeah, like a big rat trap, basically. Quite clever, to be honest, but as well, if... I feel like back in the olden days, it wasn't a squid. It kind of became a squid later on, but at the start, it was like they didn't really know what it was.
Right.
They just saw the back and they were like, it just looks like land. Whereas in kind of like, you'll see later on, but in the 1800s, it kind of became a squid.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, maybe someone saw like giant squids and was like, that's what the fucking hafgufa is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. This old Icelandic hero, Orvar Oddr, and he's like this old Icelandic hero, like he does loads of cool stuff. He's just like, you know, Cúchulainn of Iceland, basically.
Oddr, he's a great lad, though.
And in the 13th century version of this story, he goes on a little trip and he heads off to Helluland, which is like Baffin Island now. To travel there, they have to go through the Greenland Sea and they see the hafgufa and this other thing called the lyngbakkr, which is like another massive animal that they have in their legends.
Hmm.
And he sees them along the way and he had a big fight with them, basically. The Lingbacker is the largest whale in the world, but the Hafguffa is the largest monster in the sea. This is like an excerpt from the book.
Yeah.
It is the nature of this creature to swallow men and ships and even whales and everything else within its reach. It stays submerged for days, then rears its head and nostrils above surface and stays that way at least until the change of tide. Now that sound we just sailed through was the space between its jaws, and its nostrils and lower jaw were those rocks that appeared in the sea, while the Lingbacker was the island we saw sinking down. However, Ogmund Tussock has sent these creatures to you by means of his magic to cause death to you and all your men. That he thought that more men would have gone the same way as those that had already drowned. So basically what happened was all these lads in the boats got off the boats and went onto the back of the Lingbacker because they thought it was an island.
Oh shit.
Right.
We're chilling on the beach, lit fires, hanging out. Obviously the fires burnt his back and the Lingbacker dived, created a whirlpool as he dived and drowned like hundreds of men, basically.
Oh my God. Was
a way, that's why they said to avoid the Kraken, because when they would dive, they would create nearly a whirlpool that would suck people down, that you'd be like, you're in big trouble, basically.
Yeah, you're not getting out of that.
No.
No, because obviously you're not going to get out of that because the size of them, like, I feel like
for
they're bigger than
you. For many obvious reasons.
For many obvious reasons, you're not getting away from that. So there was this Swedish 18th century naturalist, Carl von Linné. So he was like a professional of his time in this kind of a thing. And he included the Kraken in his first edition of its Systematic Natural Catalogue in 1735. He actually gave the Kraken a scientific name, Microcosmos, but he left it out in later editions because, you know, there's obviously no proof.
Yeah.
Microcosmos is like small universe. That's hilarious.
Well, I mean, if they're trying to use it in the sense, like, the thing is that big.
It's kind of like that's like,
he's
that's
a small universe.
Fabulous.
Oh my God, I didn't even realise that when I was reading that.
That's what I'm here for.
Education corner.
Okay, there's this guy, Eric Pontoppidan. He was the Bishop of Bergen. I'm going to mention him loads. He's like the main lad in this whole discussion because he, like, he knows everything apparently about this Kraken. Probably doesn't know anything, but anyways.
Did you say he was the bishop?
Bishop of Bergen, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably lying, so, but anyway, go on.
He described the Kraken like loads. He wrote a book, The First Attempt at a Natural History of Norway, obviously in Norwegian, in 1752. He made several different claims about the Kraken, including the idea that the Kraken was mistaken for an island, and that the real danger to sailors, like, around the Kraken was not the creature itself, but rather, like, the whirlpool left when it died.
Right, okay.
So he was like, it's not that much danger to people, because what would happen was basically the sailors would go, because obviously the Kraken is puking and it's attracting all the fish, so the sailors would be like, oh my God, loads of fish. They'd go and fish, and then apparently the good sailors would know that, okay, the Kraken is going to close its mouth now, so they'd know to get out of the way. But what would happen if they didn't get away fast enough or far away enough? It would dive and suck them all down. Risky business, as you can imagine.
Very, very risky.
He described the Kraken as round, flat and full of arms or branches. Tentacles. Called it the largest and most surprising of all the animal creation.
I mean, even if you look at a normal squid, it looks like an alien.
Yeah.
It does. They're really weird looking.
They're weird.
And, like, cuttlefish are the weirdest ones. I don't like them. They have the little fucking...
Oh, the little bit, like the Zoidberg thing.
The Davy Jones things.
The Davy Jones
thing. A lot of fishermen, that they, when they described the Kraken, that their description of the Kraken didn't vary. That there was, the same description. Like, they all said the same thing. That it, consistent. That's why he believed them, because...
Yeah, they're not all going to be able to communicate.
They're
to
describing
make up
the same
shit.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They said that if you were to row out several miles into the Norwegian Sea in the summer, you're in serious danger of falling victim to the Kraken. There is a quote saying, here and there, a larger rising is observed like sandbanks on which various kinds of small fishes are seen continuously leaping about till they roll off into the water from the sides of it. At last, several bright points or horns, tentacles, appear, which grow thicker and ticker, the higher they rise above the surface
like
of the water. Ticker and ticker. And sometimes they stand up as high and as large as the mass of middle-sized vessels. So, you know how big the ships were back then? Like,
yeah, they
really
were
tall,
massive.
Mass, like, they were huge. So you can imagine, and that's only him being, like, putting his hands up. Like, it's probably not even him being, like, stretching, you know? It is said that if the creature's arms were to lay hold of the largest man of war, so, like, you know the three-mast ships that they have in, like, parts of the Caribbean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That it would pull it down to the bottom. They actually had a saying in Norway, like, the Norwegian fishermen, that they'd often say, like, if someone had a good catch, you'd be like, oh, you must have fished on the Kraken, because...
Right. Because plenty of fish.
Play.
Not the date in sight.
He also said, this Pontoppidan guy, he also said that a specimen of the monster, perhaps a young and careless one, was washed ashore and died at Alstahang in 1680. By 1755, his description of the kraken had been translated into English. So, pretty good, like.
Pretty early on.
This next guy gets kind of awkward. It'll feel kind of bad for him. Basically, in 1802, the French malacologist, so he is like an introvert, like it's the study of introvert zoology, specifying in mollusca, you know, octopuses and shit.
Oh,
like
right,
that.
Right, okay.
So it's like, even snails are mollusks, aren't they? Mollusks.
Mollusks, yeah, they are.
Yeah. So like that kind of thing, like, you know, those weird animals.
What anyway. Size it? I thought they were things with shells or mollusks.
Well, I mean, if it has those hard, like beachy like things on its back, I presume it's not on like fleshy skin. So
fair point.
I think squids and octopuses are kind of considered to be them. I don't know. I obviously don't know what the criteria is. Maybe it's like the way they eat, or
it could have something to do with their beak as well, possibly, because that is crunchy. So.
Anyways, this guy, Pierre Denis de Montfort, recognized the existence of two kinds of octopus in Histoire naturelle générale et particulière de mollusques.
So fluent.
That's it, right. Yeah,
so a general history of in particular of mollusks.
Exactly. So he claimed that the first type was the kraken, and this had been described by the Norwegian sailors and American whalers, as well as ancient writers such as Pliny the Elder. So Pliny was like this, I think he was Roman, and he was like a naturalist, you know, cartographer, you know, all those fancy things.
Fancy things, yeah.
You know how lads back then like did everything? They were like naturalists, biologists, zoologists, every sort of fucking thing. Mm. That was him.
Jack of all trades, master of fuck all.
Yeah. And he was really good at his job, so apparently he spoke about the kraken. So this Pierre Denis de Montfort, right, described two octopuses. One of them was the kraken, and then the much larger second type was the colossal octopus. And this was reported to have attacked a sailing vessel from Saint Malo off the coast of Angola.
Ooh.
This lad kept making more and more like sensational claims. Like he kept kind of amping up, and he kept saying more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And as expected, caught himself out. He proposed that 10 British warships, including the captured French ship of the line Ville de Paris, which had mysteriously disappeared one night in 1782, must have been attacked and sunk by giant octopuses. The British, however, knew, because there was actually a survivor from Ville de Paris, that the ships had been lost in a hurricane off the coast of Newfoundland in September 1782, which disgraced Montfort. Nobody took him seriously ever again because he was caught fibbing, basically.
Second for you, Montfort. Montfort.
That's why you don't be telling big lies about giant octopuses.
Is it not octopi?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I don't mean to be a dick, but it was irritating my brain.
So. I'm going to keep saying octopuses.
Corrections corner over here.
Come on up. Want your octopi. Okay, since the late 18th century, kraken have been depicted in a number of ways, primarily as a large octopus-like creature, so like basically as we know them now.
Mm-hmm.
People kind of suggest that Pontoppidans, same lad, that his kraken that he was talking about was probably based on sailors who had seen the giant squids.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
But obviously there was like a bit of a Chinese whisper situation going on, that the kraken was like blown up to be way more scary and like intense than the giant squids. Like apparently like it had like spikes on its suckers and all this kind of shit, like, you know.
Because it all would have been worse.
I don't know how, like, why you need to make a giant humongous squid that's a mini universe size and you have to add spikes, like. It's already scary enough.
Did not need the spikes. There was no need.
No.
It's already scary enough. Like, do you remember the mouth in Pirates of the Caribbean? Ew.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you making it more scary?
Even when that thing was lying dead on the beach after Davy Jones was forced to kill it, it was still terrifying to look at.
As it built, it kind of became more like the giant squids that this Pontoppidan fella kind of heard that sailors were seeing giant squids. And he was like, oh my God, maybe that's the kraken, and people have just been wrong. Because up until then, give or take, that they were actually described as more crab-like.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, which is actually kind of even more scary.
I think I prefer squid. Giant crab just seems like no.
I don't know, to be honest.
Scuttling
squids,
around the
squids, because they're just
the
so, like, squidgy and like...
Okay, so these creatures more crab-like than octopus-like, and they actually possessed a lot of traits that were associated with, like, large whales rather than giant squid.
Yeah, like the vomiting sounds very whale-like.
And some of the traits of the kraken, they actually said, resemble undersea volcanic activity in the Icelandic area, because, you know, the bubbling water, the sudden currents, and the little islands.
Mm-hmm.
That they were like, oh my God, a new island just popped up overnight. In Moby Dick, the kraken was actually mentioned in chapter 59, Squid. So
that's
super
the name of the
Why is Moby Dick so big and the book's not even that great?
I never read it. I don't fucking want to. Like, it's, what? These whalers going around stabbing.
You take it or leave it. Like, it's one of those, I think.
Leave him the fuck alone. Like, what's he. I hate that.
No matter just what anyone tells you, any of these fucking scholarly people who are like, oh, I'm so intelligent. Not all of the classics are good.
No, they're not.
And I can fight me to
Most
the death
of them
on
are
that.
Shit, like, and it's just the novel to be like, oh, hey, hey, I'm so intelligent. I've read all these classics, and you're like, right.
You can suck Homer's dick all you want, but at the end of the day, the Iliad is shit and the Odyssey is good. That's it. Odysseus has a much better story than that little whingy-ass bitch Achilles.
God, I have that book, and it's literally eyeballing me right now. It's disgusting, but it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Is Jane Eyre the one where she's with that Mr.
God. Yeah.
He's the most whiny
stupid.
Bitch.
I hate the book.
Do you not like me because I'm ugly? And I'm like, no, because you're a fucking lurk.
Yep.
Oh, I couldn't.
You're joking.
He's annoying. He annoyed me. The lad in Moby Dick, anyways, is this lad called Starbuck, and bad name, but anyways, and he.
Oh my god! Wait, is that why as well? If you think of it, the logo for Starbucks is a mermaid.
It's a mermaid.
Revelations.
Oh my god! Maybe actually.
Quite possibly.
Anyways, Starbuck and said the great live squid, which they say few whale ships ever beheld, and returned to their ports to tell of it. So. Anyone who saw it basically got sucked in, eaten, or whatever. Maybe just sucked down. I feel like it was that whole thing of like people were like, oh, it's evil, but really it was just like going home.
Yeah.
And they just got sucked down in the little.
Yeah, at the end of the day, fish gotta eat.
Twisty. Yeah. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was leaving.
You're the
and
invader
they
in
just
his
didn't
home.
Eat fast enough.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah, I hate that whole like shark infested water. Actually, you're
exactly.
You're the invader here in this
Human
situation.
Human infested oceans. Get off of them.
Okay. I'm getting to the end now. In 1781, the Swedish author Jacob Wallenberg described the Kraken in the work Min Song Pa Gellinjan, which translates to My Son on the Galley. He said, the Kraken, also called the crabfish, which is not that huge, for heads and tails counted, he is no larger than our Åland. I presume that means island. No larger than our Åland is wide, which is less than 16 kilometres. So he was trying to say this wasn't this that big.
So probably more on the scale of a giant squid as opposed to something that is mistaken for an entire island.
Yeah, honestly, like...
Like, how is that not that big?
Oh, it's only
16 like,
kilometres across, like, fuck off.
I don't know, like, maybe he was expecting, like, the moon size. And I'm like... What are you expecting? Sure. Like 16
exactly.
kilometers.
Do you think this fucker has his own gravitational pull? Like
a blue whale. You see how big blue whales? They're only like, I don't want to say, but like 70 feet or something.
I think it is.
I think they're 65, give or take. Anyways, he's going on about the crabfish, Kraken, and he said he stays at the seafloor constantly surrounded by innumerable small fishes who serve. Okay, throwback. Remember when I said that they were eating his puke?
Yeah.
He says that these fishes who serve as his food and are fed by him in return for his meal last no longer than 3 months, and another three are then needed to digest it. So this guy changed it from the Kraken's vomit to the Kraken's shit.
Yeah.
Right.
He said his excrements nurture in the following an army of lesser fish, and for this reason fishermen plumb after his resting place. Gradually Kraken ascends to the surface, and when he was at 10 or 12 fathoms, which is like, a fathom is about 2 metres, when he's at 10 or 12 fathoms, the boats had better move out of his vicinity as he will shortly thereafter burst up like a floating island, spurting water from his dreadful nostrils and making ring waves around him, which can reach many miles. Could one doubt that this is the Leviathan of Job? No idea what that means.
Leviathan, but, you mean?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I
and
just
Leviathan is like, it's just another word for a big, scary-ass sea creature.
Yeah. So that's him. So basically, what octopi, when they eat, they don't like, when they eat something, they don't like poo, shit.
All right.
They eat food, digest it, and then spit it all back out.
Yeah, so that's exactly why whales vomit as well, because they can't push it out the back end. They don't have one. They don't have a digestive tract the way we do.
They kind of do what a cow does, but instead of eating it back up again, they just spit it all out. And Pontoppidan notes that it, so the excrement, has a strong and peculiar scent which it can emit at certain times, and by means of which it beguiles and draws other fish to come in heaps about it. So like the smell, so disgusting, the smell like would travel through the water and fish would smell it and be like unreal, and they'd flock to the area, cracking with chill with his mouth open, and then like a Venus flytrap.
Yes.
Literally. And he'd catch all the little fishes. So, and appropriately enough, it uses a fish, it has devoured to lure even more fish by using its poo as a lure. He says, a great many old fishermen say that its evacuation colours the surface of the water, which appears quite thick and turbid.
Nice.
Ew.
Like, ew, like, it's disgusting. The muddiness is said to be so agreeable to the smell or taste of other fishes or to both that they gather together from all parts to it and keep for that purpose directly over the kraken. He then opens his arms or horns, tentacles, seizes and swallows his welcome guests and converts them after due time by digestion into bait for other fish of the same kind.
So, basically, reduce, reuse,
repeat. Yeah, basically. So there was a few theories as well that like this, what they were saying would happen. I saw something that said that, you know, the way that squids and I don't know if octopi do it, but that their ink.
Yeah.
They said that maybe it wasn't what they thought it was, that it was actually the giant squids got a fright and squirted their ink.
Okay, right.
And then they were like, oh my God, this is what it is, because they caught a lot of fish at that day, at that time, or whatever. Because, you know, the way, like, around, like, sharks and stuff, all the little fish is going to follow them.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe it could be something similar, that there is a good catch around these big animals because they, you know, throw out their food. Like,
well,
but I can't imagine it would smell like.
Yeah. And the main reason that small fish will school around sharks is one, for protection, and two is that they have like a symbiotic relationship. So they'll eat all of the dead skin off of the shark, and like that keeps them going and it keeps the shark like clean and shit like that. So I don't know about fish and like squids or octopi having a symbiotic relationship like that.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make sense now that I think about it. I just made that up. But
it's a theory.
Yeah, maybe it does make sense that that like when they do spit out their food that it attracts fish. Yeah. And then the fishermen were like, oh my God, imagine it's like waiting underneath to catch them. And then they were like...
Exactly, especially if you've like bottom feeder fish, that would probably be the best that they would attract, because like... If you ever seen like a fish die in a fish tank when you have bottom feeders, like the second that thing is dead, the bottom feeders are straight on top of it, like devouring it.
Yeah, they know.
Instantly. They follow it around as it's dying because they smell the death off of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
sick. It's horrible to watch because we've had to go like watch it so many times waiting for the fish to die out, because I just can't bring myself to flush them before they die because of Lazarus. No. I saved a fish already. Like, we thought Lazarus was going to die, hence why we called him Lazarus. And, like, he started bending in half and everything. And I just put him into the nursery and, like, he came back to life. And up until Adam killed the tank completely, Lazarus was still alive. So I can't bring myself to flush them because I might be able to help them.
No, you shouldn't flush them until they're dead anyways, because that's awful. Exactly. But, yeah, that's it. I got my info off Wikipedia, www.wire.com and www.monster.fandom.com.
Nice.
So, yeah. That's it for the Kraken. Most of it was just like, that's what I meant when I said that it was like these fancy boys from back in the day writing books being this is what's happened, when it's like, they're just talking shit like that guy who made so much stuff up and got caught.
Exactly.
Like, do you know? It's like, it's to sell a book.
Oh, they were selling books.
There's always a bandwagon with stuff like this. Like,
you're not going to sell a book if you're like, the Kraken isn't real.
Exactly. Even mine is like that. It kind of evolved into Mothman. From
fucking Mothman.
I just actually imagine him now in a fucking builder's hat, like a lord doing the YMCA.
Honestly, Mothman, the gay icon. So I knew sweet fuck all about Mothman. Like I said, I told you guys before we started recording this, is like, I saw the memes. I knew there was, like, I'd come across The Mothman of Point Pleasant, which is a documentary. It's up on Amazon Prime at the moment, so if you have Amazon, it's free. It's actually quite interesting. Give it a watch. But anytime I came across it, I just kind of like laugh. I was like, ah, Mothman, how ridiculous. I'll never watch that. And then I started a fucking podcast and then I had to watch it. But yeah, there's a lot to Mothman, and there's a lot more, we'll say, supernatural occurrences that follow Mothman around. So it's very interesting. So the start of the notes are just the basic bullshit that I pulled off of Wikipedia as usual, and then I'll get into the proper accounts of what people who were there actually said from the documentary.
Right.
So the tales of Mothman began in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. We're back there.
Country roads. Take me home.
to the place.
Between any of us, our poor listeners, my God, their ears would be bleeding after listening to that.
We apologise, but it's actually required by law for all Irish people to sing Country Roads when possible, so...
Anytime West Virginia is ever mentioned.
Yeah, West Virginia on November 12th, 1966. It's pretty old. Five men, although the documentary said four men, but I don't think it fucking matters how many men there was.
Five to four.
Exactly. More than three men. Yeah, so however many men is debatable, but either way, they were digging a grave at a cemetery near Clendenin, or Clendenin, I'm not sure, West Virginia as well, which is about an hour away from Point Pleasant, when they reported seeing a man-like figure flying low from the trees above them. And this is said to be the first known sighting of what later became known as Mothman.
Mothman.
So 3 days later, on November 15th, and this is by far the more like famous story of it, two young couples, Roger and Linda Scarberry, and Mary and Steve Mallett, told police they saw a large grey creature whose eyes glowed red in the car's headlights. They described it as a large flying man with a 10-foot wingspan. And they claimed it followed the car while they were driving by a former World War II munitions plant in an area known as the TNT area. So there was like a TNT factory there and stuff like that. And that's where Mothman was said to have like lived.
If I seen something that size following my car, I think I'd crash it on purpose, so then I'd knock myself into a coma so I wouldn't have to see what it was.
Like, 10 foot is a lot. Like, a normal human wing, like, reach, like, wingspan, we'll say, is, like, 5 or 6 foot.
Yeah, like that. That's all it would take to lift us up off of the ground. So, like, 10 foot wings would easily lift any one of us. And I that is mentioned later by one of the people with the accounts. And I do go into, I think I go into a little bit more detail about these guys and what they did later on. But like I said, this is just the Wikipedia stuff, the boring blah, blah, you know, fucking basics. Yeah. So over the next few days, more people reported similar sightings with two volunteer firemen.
Yes.
Two volunteer firemen said it was a large bird with red eyes, and a contractor named Newell Partridge said when he aimed a flashlight at the creature, the eyes glowed red like bicycle reflectors, and he blamed buzzing noises on his TV and the disappearance of his German Shepherd on the creature. So basically what happened was he was just sitting in his house with his wife, they were watching telly, and he said that they actually talked to him, or they have like an interview from him in the documentary.
I thought you meant he talked to Mothman. I was like, well, he can speak.
No, sadly not.
No, that was just me being a dumbass. Sorry.
No, they talked to Newell Partridge. And he basically said he was sitting there with his wife, and all of a sudden the TV just started like screeching. And it just got louder and louder and louder and louder. Ooh. And he got up to turn it off, like off the sound, because it was pissing them off. Like, he said it was actually piercing their skull. And the whole like centre of the TV, like old timey 1960s TV, the whole centre
with the dials
burst out. And then he said the dog was going ham on the front porch, like barking away, like going crazy. Yeah. And as soon as he stepped out and he was like, fuck is your problem, the dog ran off. So he stood on the porch and he said it was kind of like misty, so you know, he wasn't going to follow it, and he was just like kind of calling the dog like, come back, come back, and the dog never came back. And then he saw the two like red lights, but he didn't really describe them as eyes like the others had. He more so described them as like two red orbs that would spin around each other constantly, and then they got faster and faster, and then they just disappeared, and the dog never came back. And he reported it to the police, and the dog's remains or anything, that was never found. The dog was just never found.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What? So I thought that was pretty fucking weird. And like, it's a German Shepherd, you know what I mean? Like, if a creature got it or whatever, like, you know, a normal creature.
And they're not dogs, like, they're like, especially a dog that isn't one to wander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the dog got out and ran away. You'd be like,
it's not like he was in a, like, a housing estate or anything either. It was like a ranch dog. So
they don't like they don't wander, like they don't run.
And German Shepherds are notoriously territorial, so they don't leave their post, like they just don't. So
no,
I thought that was pretty fucking weird. So Mason County Sheriff George Johnson commented that he believes the sightings were of a large heron, which he termed a shite poke. I don't know if they pronounce it differently, but I'm going to pronounce it like an Irish person.
Shite
poke. And a wildlife biologist named Dr. Robert L. Smith, not Dobbert, at West Virginia University spoke with reporters saying the description of the Mothman fit the Sandhill Crane, which is almost as tall as a man and has a wingspan of 7 foot. So it could have actually been like that, with circles of reddish colouring around the eyes. The crane may have gotten lost from its migratory route, which would not have been recognised, like the bird wouldn't have been recognised in the area.
Yeah, nobody would have knew what it was.
So they would have been like, the fuck is that? And like, I'd freak if I saw a bird the same height as me. Like, I'm small. Do you know what I mean? Like, so the birds probably...
What are those big, massive birds called? Do you know what? They're like about 4 foot.
Is it like...
They're
like,
huge. Yeah, they're the grey one.
It's
no, they're the massive beak.
It's an eagle. Is it an eagle?
Yeah, it's a weird looking... I can't even remember the
it's
name
like
of it.
It's like a pelican, pelican kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They I know the one you're talking about.
Terrify me.
They look like fossils.
It's not. It's more like a pelican, no. She's right. Like, I'm going to look it up.
It is. It's like... It looks like a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. It's disgusting.
Does it still exist or is it...
Yeah,
it still exists.
Okay, yeah,
they're in zoos and stuff.
Mm. Yes. I think I know what you're on about. Can't remember what they're called.
I'm
Like you've seen some pretty big ass birds, and
it's called a shoe bill.
A shoe bill.
Yeah, that's the one.
Fabulous. And they are fucking they're ginormous, crazy, and like their beaks literally look like. Like, they look like a dinosaur beak. It's I can't look at it. It makes me feel disgusting. Sorry.
Yeah. So then, yeah, people were trying to explain it away, but I don't think I wrote it down, so I'll mention it now, is that, like, people that witnessed, well, in inverted commas, because, you know, I can't say they didn't. I can't say they did. People that witnessed Mothman said that there's fucking no way it was a crane or a bird of any description because, like, it didn't have a long neck like a bird. It was basically, like, you could see the silhouette of the way the birds would be when their wings are folded. And then it had, like, just a head on its shoulders, like it was a human head. So they were like, there's no way it was a bird. The good stuff from Mothman of Point Pleasant. It's 2017. I was meant to look up who directed it. I forgot. So look it up. So yeah, apparently like Point Pleasant was the grounds, I suppose, of a huge battle between Native Americans. It was two Native American tribes that teamed up to fight against invaders. They were invaders. I'm sorry, war.
Mm-hmm. Shitty colonizers.
Exactly. Apparently there's like a mass grave there because obviously the militia overrun the Native Americans.
Right.
So a lot of them died. And then Chief Cornstalk tried to make a deal with like, you know, the invading assholes. And thought it was all G. He turned up with his son, and upon arriving he was captured and killed along with his son. So they murdered him and his son, even though he was trying to like cut
snakes
a deal for the
like
land. Yeah,
what dirty fucking bastards do that?
Americans who tried to take over the Native Americans' lands.
Well, to be fair, they're even doing that shit nowadays when they're
exactly.
like shooting fucking medics and arresting people like EMTs and mm-hmm. stuff.
And they're still trying to fuck over the Native Americans.
Like literal war crimes, but that's fine, whatever.
I know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but you're heroes. Whatever, go fuck yourself. We're not getting mad about America today.
No.
Not today, Satan. So upon his dying breath, he supposedly cursed Point Pleasant for 200 years.
Fair fucks to him.
Mm-hmm. I would,
yeah. I'd do the exact... If I was able to put curses on places and I just got killed and my kid got killed beside me after you're going to try and make a peace treaty, I'm putting curses on
everyone's
everyone.
Going to be miserable for hundreds of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dishonor on you, on your cow.
On your family.
That Mushu quote that I don't know. That one. All of them.
So apparently sightings of a bird man began as early as 1914 with an abnormally large bird with the head of a man being reported. They also had something else called the Flatwoods Monster that was really famous in West Virginia, but it was reported as having like glowing orbs around it. Like it would have like a celestial light that followed it through the sky.
Ooh.
And some cases of Mothman had reported the same sort of light. However, found fucking none of them in the whole rest of the documentary. They mentioned that like right at the start and then there's just nothing about it in the future. So who knows?
Not surprised.
But yeah, so like the real sightings of Mothman started in 1966, mm-hmm. But it started as early as 1914 of like a weird bird creature being sighted.
Right, okay.
So after the Scarberry and Mallet couples, story of Mothman following them was released to the public in Athens Messenger newspaper. So Athens was like a neighbouring town. People began to arm themselves with guns and headed to what was known as the TNT area, like I said, by the old World War II factories. And it got to a point where police had to stop people from coming in. Like they had to control the amount of people that were coming into the TNT area because so many people were hyped up trying to hunt this creature. So there was like a tour guide guy that was talking about this. Like he's still a tour guide in Point Pleasant at the moment, but he was there at the time as well. And he said that there was only two questions that people wanted to know when they were coming to the TNT area. One, are we allowed to shoot it? And two, if there's more than one, can we shoot two? So there were claims that Mothman may have been an alien, as his sightings weren't the only unusual things to happen in West Virginia in 1966. On November 2nd, a man named Woodrow Darenberger is stopped on Highway 77 by a UFO that landed on the road in front of him. A being emerged and spoke to Darenberger telepathically, referring to himself as Injured Cold. On the same day in Gallipolis, Ohio, which again, it's about an hour away from where they were, like where Darenberger was, even less, yeah. I think, a woman sees a bright flash in the sky above her and a massive cylindrical object appears in a downward trajectory, landing in a nearby parking lot. Two plainly dressed men appear and begin to ask her a series of questions in a strange dialect.
The men in black.
Oh, yeah. They're coming.
Oh, like, actually.
Yeah. No, these are aliens.
Oh, okay. No, aliens. I was being smart. I was like, thinking, like, Will Smith and what's his face? Can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember that guy's name.
The other guy.
Yeah, but no, yeah, the men in black are coming. Just not yet. This is the alien portion. Yeah, they asked her a series of questions in a strange dialect. So at the same time, like, literally, like, all of these three occurrences happened, like, pretty much exactly the same time. Two men were travelling again on Highway 77. They have an encounter with someone who sounds an awful lot like Injured Cold, but they referred to him as the Grinning Man. And like the images that they used in the documentary were actually horrifying. Like he actually looks really terrifying. So I feel like I want to look into Injured Cold himself and see if there's more sightings of him and shit like that, because
we definitely can.
He sounds interesting. But today is about Mothman. Many more UFO sightings are reported all around the area within all of the same time frame. There were so many that a desk had to be set up, like, in the sheriff's office just to take calls related to UFO sightings.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So they were fucking rampant in 1966.
It wasn't, like, Roswell, like, one of, like, the really famous ones. That was back in the 60s as
well. The 60s seemed to be, like, a hotbed for UFO sightings and stuff like that. Like, a lot.
We'll definitely have to do an episode on aliens.
I saw a theory, right, and it actually kind of, like, shook me when I read it, because I was like, oh my God, it actually kind of makes sense. That, basically, in the future, these UFO sightings are future humans going on safari back in time. And the reason that they don't come back to the current day, which is why UFOs aren't seen anymore, is because everything is already documented with phones. Everything is documented. So why would they come to this time? Because
they can just
they go back to the 60s, 70s, 50s, where it's the first, like the 60s is, when you think of a good time frame, you think of the 60s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why they all go back to then.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That gave me chills.
I got goosebumps when I said it as well.
So the day after Mothman was sighted by the two young couples, a woman named Marcella Bennett went with her brother and sister-in-law to visit their sister, who lived in the TNT area. So they stayed for about an hour and a half, and then they were like, okay, time to go home. And they went ahead towards the car, and her brother, Raymond Wamsley, told her to look at a strange light that was in the sky to her right. And Marcella kind of was like, yeah, whatever. And like, didn't really care. She just kept walking. And he was just insisting. He was like, no, it's not a plane. Look at it. And she still just kept no notice. Like, she was like, whatever, Raymond, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone was on about it at the time as well.
Yeah.
Although the story hadn't broke at this point about it, so that's interesting too. It's like the day after. It was like, I think 2 weeks later that the story of their sighting of Mothman had come out. So
that would make sense why she wouldn't believe him, because she was like, yeah, what are you fucking talking about?
Like, all the UFO sightings had happened earlier, but Mothman hadn't. You know what I mean? So
either way, she wasn't going to believe him. She was going to be like, you're either talking shit.
Yeah.
And imagine things because you've heard about it in the news. Or
exactly.
Yeah.
Shut up. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you want about?
So like basically, UFO sightings or whatever, like I said, they were happening so easily. She would have been like, whatever, everyone's saying they see UFOs here. But Mothman hadn't emerged yet. They didn't know about Mothman yet. So
creepy.
Marcella kept heading for the car with her 3-year-old daughter, Tina, in her arms. After she reached for the door handle of the car, she said she saw a figure near her. She started at the feet. However, she said she saw no feet. It was just a greyish mass. And,
ooh.
Yeah. As she continued looking up at the creature, she noticed it had wings like a bird, with its neck stuck down in a swooped, stooped position. So it's kind of like, at which point, Marcella took her daughters and hauled ass back towards her sister's house. She was just like, nope, and legged it.
Left.
She fell flat on her face into the ground, down on top of her daughter. Her daughter was screaming bloody murder.
Poor child, crushed.
She was crushed.
Oh my God, imagine the fright you'd get.
Screaming bloody murder underneath her, and she was just frozen. And then she said she heard Raymond at this point screaming, come on, Marcella, get up. Come on, let's go. Like, he was freaking as well.
He was terrified.
So he grabbed her and the two of them ran back inside the house. And as they locked the door, the creature smacked off of it in an attempt to get in. So it was like, you know,
dumb fucker, do not realise that you can't pass through it.
Exactly.
Man's clearly silly.
So, yeah, Marcella was in such a state of shock from what she had seen that she said it was nothing from this earth. She was like, there's no way this creature was like, you know, human or animal or anything that we've ever seen. Like, it's an alien, basically. And she felt like she was falling in and out of consciousness repeatedly. Like, they had to lay her on the couch and just kind of leave her there because the bitch couldn't cope. Like, she was freaking. So another woman named Faye DeWitt Laporte was driving with her brothers and sisters. So it was like her twin brother, her little brother, and I think like an older brother, and then a baby sister. So the three kids were in the back. Twin brother was driving. She was in the passenger seat.
Right.
So again, they were driving by the TNT area. I think at this point they'd kind of gone up kind of trying to investigate a little bit a few times, and they hadn't seen anything up until this point. When her brother that was driving, she never named them, by the way, so I'm just the brothers. The brother that was driving said there was something beside her window, and he was like, don't look, but like there's something there. So obviously she looked.
You're going to look.
Yeah. She looked over to see that the creature was running beside the car. And same thing, like the glowing red eyes and like... Now, at this point, she said she doesn't recall any wings, but that's why she said it was running. And she doesn't recall seeing any wings. So no matter how fast they were driving, the creature kept level with them. So it was just right beside them the whole time. It would, if they sped up, it sped up. Like,
that's some fucking serious speed.
Yeah,
like.
And it was the same with the two sets of couples. The two sets of couples that had seen Mothman the first time, the first story of it. They said they were driving up to 100 miles an hour and this thing was still keeping up with them.
I swear to God, I wouldn't survive that.
My position that I would crash.
I would not survive that.
Honestly.
Imagine you're like, I'm getting out of here. Let's go. And it's still there.
And this is a warm up to this joke. Like.
Again, I was laughing at like Mothman before all this. Mothman is fucking terrifying after doing the research. Yeah, so they tried to lose it by taking a sharp turn to the TNT factory area, but still the creature kept up with them. So, like, they took the sharp turn, it took the sharp turn. Not a problem. Like, no need to slow down.
Ooh.
It was right there. It stayed right level with the window still.
Ew.
They came to a point where they kind of had to stop because there was no choice. Like, they either had to stop or they were going to fucking crash straight into a wall, I think. So they had to stop, and, like, as soon as they stopped, Mothman stopped.
Ew.
And,
don't like that at all.
So the creature jumped onto the hood of the car and observed between Faye and her brother back and forth for about a minute before jumping down. So it was literally just like it jumped up, like, was looking at them like, the fuck are you, and then just jumped off again.
No,
ew, it was having fun.
Yeah, this is the thing. It just sounds
like eyeballing that thing.
It's like it's not trying to kill people. It's just it literally wants a look.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the ones that are going out and willing to shoot him.
Yeah.
But that's worse. That's like, maybe it's not even curious. Maybe it's just like intimidating.
I don't think so.
You know how some people...
I feel like it being 7 foot and having like however big of a wingspan is intimidating.
I know, but I mean as in... I know that, obviously. But I mean as in, you know how some people just like scaring people?
Yeah, but that's...
Like traumatizing people for the crack.
This
maybe Mothman is an asshole. Maybe
I don't think
he's an asshole.
I'm getting there. If you... Let me.
Okay. Sorry, it was just a theory. Instead of him just being curious.
Faye then claims she still saw no wings at this point, but the creature cleared a 5-story building and perched itself up at the top. So remember I was saying the long legs might make sense? Because, you know, the longer legs you have, the more force you're going to be able to jump with.
To launch yourself up,
so,
yeah.
Again, they'd want to be fair fucking massive to clear a 5-story building. But she said
maybe she might
have just blocked out the memory of him having wings.
Yeah, because it's disgusting.
Yeah. Exactly. So she said, if he had wings, I've blocked it out of my memory, is pretty much exactly what she said.
Right. She's not saying that he never actually had them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's saying she doesn't remember him having them.
She doesn't remember seeing them on him.
Right.
So her brother, being the fucking legend that he is, then proceeded to hide behind his car door and throw rocks of coal at the creature to shoo it. He was literally going, shoo, like fucking up little bits of rocks of coal at him.
You know, he was terrified launching them at him as well. They're like, huh. Like if he had, like, flinched.
Honestly, that's what I was thinking. I was like, bless him, trying to be a big boy, but like terrified. At one point then, like, one of the larger ones hit by his feet, and the creature had enough at that point, and he stood up, and of course, naturally, brother fucking shat himself, ran back into the car and was like, close the door, lock the doors. And Faye was just like, well, I never unlocked my door in the first place, as if like, that's your own fault, you stupid fuck.
Fault, yeah.
So they got back in the car. But then he stood up, spreading what Faye described as the most beautiful set of wings she had ever seen, large enough to carry you or me, and effortlessly took off with, like, one swoop. So she said it's not like, you know, small birds where they kind of have to, like, the little fucking force.
It literally went,
like, he just went like, boom, boom.
Literally, yeah, it was just one easy fucking, got him. So that's the only time she recalls seeing the wings. So I'm like, interesting. I'm like, fucking Olympic athlete Mottman here. Like,
but if he's able to jump a 5-story building, he has calves on him. I mean, you know,
them gluteus maximuses are tough as fuck. That would actually require him to have arse muscles.
Oh yeah, he definitely has, like, it's just going to sound weird, but like a cracking arse. Like, a group did.
Gluteus maximus.
I didn't even think of that while I was writing it. He would actually have to have arse muscles to be able to jump like that and to be able to run properly.
Yeah.
So sightings continue with the description of a bird or a bat-like creature with red eyes that flew straight up like a helicopter, which is another weird description. Ooh. So it's like, it's literally that effortless for this motherfucker to get up off the ground. Like,
they're just like lawn.
And like, I imagine what they mean is probably as well, like, I know the eyes are half the reason that it got the name Mothman, but I feel like the helicopter flight as well is why he got Mothman in the end and not Bird or whatever. Shout out to Rick and Morty. But like,
I was gonna say,
you know the way dumbass moths, they like, they spiral up. And so I feel like that's what they mean, is that something it would spiral.
Especially with the way, like, the first story where you're on, where he said you've seen, like, the orbs, and it was, like, spinning almost.
Exactly. Because there was believed to be multiples as well, not just the one Mothman. So people began to believe that the creature was just curious and not trying to attack, and that it was trying to communicate, with one woman reporting, and this actually made me really sad and I don't know why, with one woman reporting that the creature appeared outside her house one night, and as she stood in the window watching it, it appeared to have a, like, just like a somber attitude, like it was just really sad looking, and it was like it was upset that it wasn't able to communicate with the people, and it's like it really liked humans. You know the way elephants find us cute? The same way we find cats cute? Yeah, so that it was just, he was sad. That was, like, there was sadness taking over him. And I just thought that was really upsetting. So yeah, other people then tried to say that birds had drank, now this is fucking bullshit if you ask me, in any way, shape or form. More bullshit than the thing that Mothman could actually be real. Is that birds had drank water full of chemicals from the TNT factory and it caused it to mutate.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Mutate to 7-foot fucking tall. This little sparrow is going to mutate to 7-foot tall with a 10-foot wingspan at the head of a moth.
There's no way.
Get out of my life.
There's no way. That would take 100 years.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it would be, like, they're not going to mutate, they'll probably die. Like, and then,
if you think about it logically, how big of an egg would a Mothman need to come out of?
Yeah.
A medium average sized duck isn't going to be able to lay that.
No. No, exactly.
So,
like, it's 7 foot tall, we'll assume adult age. So then you'd have to assume that, like,
his parents were at least 5 foot.
Yeah. And, like,
it's not, it's
have
not
to be, like, a 2-foot egg for a fledgling. I'm going to say fledgling because it's a bird.
No, you'd say an ostrich egg, it's but sorted, like.
Do you think?
Like, oh, yeah, I'm sure how big are ostriches? Ostriches are fucking humongous.
Yeah, ostriches are, they are huge, but they're not 7 foot with a 10-foot wingspan. And the head of a man. Either
That's
way, it absolutely, like, abolished. There's no way it's a mutation. There's just no way.
No, it's not. It's literally not possible.
Yeah, and people who, like, claim to witness the creature said it was too perfectly proportioned to be a mutation. As in, like, it made too much sense as its own separate entity to be something that mutated.
Yeah.
So then we have John Keel and Gray Barker. began to conduct many investigations into the Mothman mysteries, which they then documented as the years, like the year. It was over a period of 2 years. That's all this happened in.
Right.
They turned it into books later on. So John Keel wrote a book called The Mothman Prophecies, and Gray Baker wrote a semi-fictional book called The Silver Bridge, because he was like a sci-fi writer. So he took like the true, stuff from Mothman, and he turned it into a semi-fictional book. Whereas John Keel's is completely like all of the facts, I suppose, from his investigation. Okay. So, and then, yeah, John Keel's book was then kind of loosely used to make The Mothman Prophecies, which was a major motion film in, I want to say, like 2003. And that's what brought the story of Mothman worldwide. That's how we got it. So then John Keel started to notice, here we go. John Keel started to notice strange things happening after he came to Point Pleasant and started his investigation, such as his phone getting tapped, his mail being intercepted, and that he was being followed by strange men.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. An appliance store owner named Todd Jones saw a UFO on his way to work one day. And the following day when he turned up to work, he found a note under his door that reads, "We know what you've seen and we know that you've talked. You better keep your mouth shut."
Do they think this is going to convince people that it's not real?
You know,
ignoring,
I mean,
the situation, exactly, and just pretending he's senile, like release things about him, like being on, you know, anything.
Exactly.
Because if someone did that to me, I'd be like, "Do you know what? Fuck, you know." And I'd go out of my way then to keep talking about it.
I'd write a book. I'd do all sorts of everything.
I'll talk to as many people as possible before you pop me in the head. Like,
and I'll write it all down as well, and I'll make 800 million copies.
Exactly. And then
you know that thing, and it's like if you kill me, it's going to be released or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, so that just convinces me that there's more to it.
To it, yeah, exactly.
So more and more people came forward, like claiming that the men in black had come to them, stating that they worked for strange branches of the government that like nobody had ever really heard of, and the majority of them being dressed in black suits. And they all drove black sedans. So pretty much the generic Men in Black thing that we all know today. I think it kind of not started here, but like, you know,
this
is where it was really like rampant, the Men in Black. So several witnesses claimed that they actually came to their house, and like one woman said, like she'd seen Mothman, and the Men in Black turned up and they were like, "Oh, can you step outside here and show me where you saw it?" And she was basically like, "Am I fuck going to walk out of my house to point down into an empty field?" She was like, "Get out of here." And like her and her husband just like harassed them until they left. And another woman said that she saw a black sedan pull up as she was like going down her driveway to get her mail. And a black sedan pulled up and a man tried to pull her into the car, ripping her shirt sleeve when she tried to get away.
Like, ask a question. Don't aggravate, like, what's it? Aggravated kidnapping.
Exactly. If it is the Men in Black, like MI5 or whoever the fuck, like, you know, they don't care.
I
know, but if you want answers, the way to go about it is not to harass people.
Yeah.
It's just but they're trying to scare people into not talking.
Exactly.
They know what
but
it
like,
is.
The logic in that is so stupid, because if anything, then you're going to talk about it more.
You're convincing people. But I would tell everyone about it.
Talking about it, like, so
I would talk about it because you need people to know that if you go missing, this is why.
Exactly. So if you're not smart enough to figure that back out and they work for a government agency, well, then I'm not surprised they got nowhere with nobody.
Exactly.
I looked it up there, and that he's in West Virginia and Area 51 is in Nevada.
Yeah.
And in a car, it will take you 36 hours to travel between them, give or take.
Right.
I'm just saying that he could easily do that if he can run faster than cars, like on a handy jog.
Right, I get you. Sorry,
men in black. I was like,
no, sorry, Jesus. Sorry, you were both looking at me.
You
I was
had
like, this
no
is
no context for what you just said.
No,
and I thought the context was that we're talking about Mothman.
No, but we were talking about the Men in Black then for like 5 minutes. So I was like,
I know, but like,
why would the Men in Black be?
I
like,
know there's a lot.
Catch a flight.
Try and keep up with the story.
No, I am up with the story. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, no, yeah. He could definitely. But he can fly as well, so I doubt he'd run it.
No, I'm just saying that, like, I was like, okay, walking takes, like, 700 hours. So I was like, I didn't want to say that he'd run as fast as an airplane, so I was like, a car is next day. It only takes 36 hours at, like, if you're following speed limits.
True.
He'd probably do it in 10.
Mm-hmm.
Just an idea. That's why they probably were like freaking the fuck out.
But it was the UFOs they were freaking about, not Mothman.
No, I know, but I'm just saying the men in black as well were like mentioning. Didn't they come after one of the girls, one of the men at the very start?
No, that was a UFO. Yeah, oh, it was mostly the UFOs that they were there for. So, like, you know, what the fuck is with that as well? But it, yeah, it was most because, like I said, a lot of the Mothman sightings came with UFO sightings as well. So, like,
another one, sorry, that's why I got confused.
Another one reported that, like, he saw, what was it? It was like one of the spinning red lights and then the two solid red lights. So, say a UFO and Mothman. And they were like flying towards each other and then they like converged as one. So this is like, again, back to the thing that like Mothman was an alien and he came down with these guys. For what purpose? I don't know. But yeah, they were mostly interested in the UFO stuff, not Mothman himself. I don't know. I don't think they really gave a shit, to be honest. I don't think they believed it. But the UFO stuff, they were like,
they probably just thought they were a bit loony. Like.
Especially because like we said, it was so rampant in the 60s. So like, You know they were out there, like, is there UFOs or not? Because even the government, like, of course the government is going to want to know before anyone else. And then again, because if the whole public's reaction is to just shoot it in the fucking face and aliens are coming here to try and advance our technology or medicine or whatever, like, it's better that the government, I never thought I'd say this in my life, but it's better that the government gets their hands on them first.
Yeah, exactly.
Controversial statement from me. So from January 67, the sightings died down and seemed to disappear altogether until a year and a day after the first sighting. So we're back in November 1967. A year and a day later after the first sightings, Mothman returned. So everyone was kind of calling back in again, like, he's back, we've seen him, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's in the TNT area, blah, blah, blah. Like loads of them, just every November it seemed. The calls were flooding in. So from January to October, nothing. November, December, rampant. Crazy.
Right.
So on December 15th, 1967, Point Place was struck by tragedy when the Silver Bridge was overwhelmed with 5 p.m. Friday evening traffic that had come to a standstill, causing the bridge to collapse.
Oh, shit.
A cable snapped, causing the bridge to swing. So it, like, swung one way and dropped half of the cars into the river. And then it swung back the other way and dropped the rest of the cars in. And then it collapsed down on top of them. So anyone that was gone into that river, they pretty much no fucking chance of surviving.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, really, really bad. And, like, it's really sad at that point in the documentary as well, because a lot of the people that they're talking to were there. Like, they either witnessed it or they knew people that were involved in it.
Yeah.
It's 10 days before Christmas.
Oh, for God.
Oh, my God. People doing their Christmas shopping and stuff. Yeah,
they said that when you looked
at the river... could have been coming for the Christmas presents.
Exactly, they were. When they looked into the river, you could just see, like, bodies and Christmas presents floating.
No. Yeah. Stop it now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like I said, I'm very sorry, but the story actually ends on quite a grim note. 46 people were killed and 9 were injured. Some of the bodies were never recovered. So there was just that much debris and that many people gone in, like, with all the cars and all the shit and, like, from, like, inside the cars and from the bridge itself. Like, there was just too much.
Like, imagine how off that'd be as, like, someone, like, a first responder, like.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Because you have to keep looking for bodies for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah. They said,
you
know, that
you still haven't found people. You have to keep looking. Like, how long do you
that they were out dragging the river to see if they could find people. But one of the guys in the documentary, like, God, I think he was a sheriff. I think he was. But he said, like, one of the girls he went to school with went in and she was never, ever found.
I was going to say there had to be a good few that just they were never ever found back.
Yeah. So I think it was a total of 32 vehicles and 46 people. So... that's a lot of cars to go in at the one time as well. Like,
and do you know what as well? It's going to sound horrible, but probably a lot of kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they would have been with them doing their Christmas shopping.
But rush hour, you're coming back from school.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was sad. But anyway, later on, people will try to say that Mothman was perched on top of the bridge right before it collapsed. However, most people say that, you know, nobody said that to me at the time. And if you really did see Mothman before a tragedy, you're going to fucking say it.
You're going to say it, like, or you're going to be shouting bloody murder, like, yeah, exactly. That it's up there.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, most of them are like, it's bullshit. It was sensationalised afterwards that like Mothman caused it and they blamed him for it. And then there was a whole other thing that I didn't really look into because I wasn't talking about Moscow. I was talking about Point Place or Point Pleasant. But apparently there was an apartment fire, I think, in Moscow in 1999, and they blamed that on Mothman as well. So I think Mothman was sighted in Moscow. So I just didn't have time to look into that. We're already fucking hell 50 minutes in to my story. We'll have to cut that down. Yeah, so after the Silver Bridge collapsed, stories of the Mothman started to die out. However, sightings still continue to this day, and Point Pleasant began a Mothman festival in 2002 with a large statue of him being erected in 2003. And the statue's kind of hilarious.
I hope it's like Burning Man, where everyone like gathers and they're all like living their best lives.
I think so. Apparently like 12 to 15,000 people show up like every day to see it. Yeah. So it's like a really big festival. But they did it to kind of, you know, start tourism and stuff. And they were like, well, hey, nobody else has a Mothman, so let's fucking embrace it.
Yeah, I mean.
And they have the world's only Mothman museum that opened up in 2005 as well.
Sure, what the fuck's going to be in that, like?
So, yeah, like I said earlier, these days Mothman is world famous thanks to Mothman Prophecies being made into a major motion picture.
Yeah, what the fuck is in the museum, though?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there is a couple of, like, videos and pictures and stuff that people took trying to be like, this is Mothman, and then they were kind of debunked a bit, but they might have those in there. They'll probably have, like, the journalist guy who wrote
maybe, like,
book. They'll have, like, his
a wax figure or something.
They could have a wax figure, exactly. I think they actually do have figures of him. I think I've seen that. I didn't, like, they didn't go in there for me to know what's actually in there. I'd imagine that's kind of a get over here yourself if you want to see it kind of thing.
Yeah.
You
know? It's definitely a load of shite, though.
Yeah, exactly. So with over 100 reported sightings within the first year in a town with a population of 5,000, it is easy to believe that Mothman was very much real. That's it. That is Mothman!
He's so intense. Like, it is actually a lot more dramatic than you'd first initially think, just because of the name alone. And I know you're never meant, like, to judge a book by its cover, but, like,
we do, naturally, as humans, it's our job.
Well, you kind of expect to be a bit more funny rather than really fucking sad and scary and horrifying. Yeah.
It's actually so much darker and so much creepier than I ever thought. But I swear to God, nothing freaked me out in the story of Mothman as much as Ingrid Cold. Like, that
oh, yeah, that's just disgusting.
Like the face just freaked me out. Like, imagine something just coming to you, telepathically speaking to you, and he's like grinning at you.
No, stop it.
And like, that's how they drew him, with like really large eyes. And like, obviously, God bless our audience, they can't see me. You're very lucky. But like, when my eyes go wide, they're very kind of terrifying. So like that, like as big as my eyes go when I spread them. And then
it's so unsettling.
Yeah. Fuck that noise. No, thank you. I take Mothman over Ingrid any day. Any day.
Exactly.
You know
Mothman's
how,
probably a bit sound like,
theory. You know how people think UFOs come from, this is going back to my Area 51 thing, that UFOs are just basically aircraft that the Americans have built and are testing in Area 51.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Men in Black are obviously like from the government or whatever. Yeah. You know, they obviously are like a branch of like a fucking secret service or whatever the shit. Maybe the UFOs are being, they're like drones nearly looking for a Mothman, and that's why they're seeing at the same kind of time that they're trying to track him.
I mean, yeah. The UFO sightings started before Mothman. So, yeah, 17 million fucking theories. And, you know.
I think they exist and don't know. 100%. I don't think they've come to see us, to be honest.
Because I reckon they're in the ocean, to be honest. I agree. I would die by that.
I do believe that, you know, the ocean is formed from freaky deaky space bacteria, the same way we were, but worse. But yeah, I think they've come. I think they've just given up on us and they're leaving us burn ourselves out, genuinely.
Like, literally watch us like a show, be like, oh my God, look at what they're doing this season.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
2020 has been the most dramatic one yet. I'm going to stop this madness now with the Bros No Dragon.
Dragons.
It's not even a fucking dragon, so I don't know why they called it a dragon. It's actually kind of embarrassing.
Well, that's getting me hopes up for nothing.
Exactly. It's what I do best. Disappoint. So, for this week's sources, I got from cryptozoology.com and ancientorigins.com. So, we're in Lake Brosnan, to Tver region of Western Russia. And it's said to be home to a serpent-like creature known as the Brosno Dragon, or the Brosnia.
Oh!
So, the area surrounding the lake is completely desolate. Like, there's nobody living there anymore. The buildings are all crumbling down. There's abandoned villages. And creepily, in the lake itself is meant to be an abandoned church.
Oh.
So you can just see this yolk at the surface of the water. But because of where it's sitting, they can't excavate it, so they can't even tell how old it is.
Right.
But there are settlers, like, in that area going back as far as, like, the 13th century and everything like that. So, but no one has lived in, like, that close proximity to the lake for, like, hundreds of years. Only, like, surrounding town. So it's very, very creepy. So already you have a spooky setting, which I'm very much a fan of. Sightings of the dragon actually date back as far as the 13th century. And it's far surpassing sightings of the Loch Ness Monster, because many people compare the two together. They're kind of like, they say they're like cousins.
Right,
you know?
Okay, so like...
that they're very similar in that aspect, but this is much, much older. The creature is said to be 16 foot long, has bioluminescent scales, ooh, and a head that resembles a dragon. So it's like, the way it looks in pictures, done like that people have obviously drawn, it's like a lovely, like, luminous blue. So if you could actually see it swimming in the lake.
Stunning.
So it's like, do you know, ever see them pictures of, like, I think it's the algae in the sea at night time, and it's that kind of green and those kind of blues. It's something like that, apparently, that its scales is meant to look
fabulous. I think I know why the myth originated already, but I can't remember the name of the thing, so I'm just going to let you continue, but it's in my brain.
I'm going to tell you a few tales of sightings of it, right?
Yay.
None of these fucking happened. I'm just going to say it now. So,
like any of our stories.
Go back. Oh, I want a believability scale at the end of all of ours as well, because I can't be dealing. So there have been sightings that have been passed around to people's families for the, like, hundreds and hundreds of years. And like I said before, the oldest one is as far as the 13th century. So this happens to the Tartar Mongol army, and they were on their way to attack a city in Novgorod. But Batu Khan decided he was going to stop at the lake because it was an ideal place for the army to rest and they can water their horses. So he selected, like, a few soldiers to go down and bring them up. But when they got to the edge of the lake, they could hear a massive screeching noise. And the serpent apparently came bursting out of the water and swallowed the army and the horses whole. So the rest of the army that were just onlooking, because they were kind of like on a hill part near the lake, could only watch in fear because they've never seen anything like that before. They cancelled their attack on the city and fled and never returned.
Holy shit.
So this apparently freaked
them out. The Mongols away. Like, that's...
Exactly.
They were fearless.
Like, I was like...
fucking hell.
Like, what?
They yeah, but everyone would be fled. Scared of, like, a massive fucking snake in the sea burst down.
I mean,
and just
because they hadn't heard that, and, like, they didn't hear any, like, massive splashing or anything like that. It literally just came shooting up, swallowed them all, and then dove straight back down.
And thank God for that little village city.
Oh, yeah. Like, they would have been spared massively, because I'd say the Mongols would have absolutely, like they were fierce warriors, so they would have just tore that place apart, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Now, we have another tale. And this is an account of Swedish mercenaries, or, you know, Vikings. Mercenaries, like, Jesus Christ, it's a polite way of putting it. But anyway. So they came to the lake to bury their plundered treasure and gold. I feel like plundered is such a fancy word for being a shithead that stole
it. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Literally, just plunder to me just is like the messy way of robbing. So, like, you just fucking fly in, slap around a few people, flail around, trash everything, and then rob bits on the way out. It just sounds like the very messy way of stealing.
Yeah,
and then trying to hide their shit.
They were fucking concerned about cleaning up after themselves as they were burning a village.
Oh, no.
So, messy is a good way of describing it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, very accurate, I'd say. So, unfortunately, now for the poor old Vikings, they would also be eaten alive by the Brosna dragon. So, apparently, it swallowed an entire sand dune. So where they were going to actually bury the treasure, the serpent, or the dragon, came bursting up out of the water yet again and swallowed the whole sand dune with the Vikings on it. So it just took, like, a chunk of land with it.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
I don't know how it did it when the thing was only 16 foot long, but, like, I know that's a considerable
size.
Thank
God he lives in water.
But to nom a whole sand dune down?
Maybe it made, like, a massive wave that just, like, washed it out or something. And they just were like, hey, that's a big hole, I must be eating.
Yeah, like, it could have been
it did a big splash in and it threw a mini tsunami.
Or even, like, imagine if it has to jump out, numb them, then it's going to have to kind of do a bit of a fucking 180 to return. So it could have just, whoosh,
yeah,
you know.
Because it's not, I don't think it's going to do like a recoil, because like, it's not a spring. It's not going to go like, nope, and come back.
It's like Tigger on his fucking tail, just bouncing back and forth.
Boom, boom, boom. So, kind of, right, this reminded me a bit of the basilisk from Harry Potter. So, there's been cases of people that have gone down to the lake and have apparently been petrified as soon as they've laid eyes on the Brosnan dragon's eyes. They would just drop and they'd be petrified to death.
Interesting.
And the way the basilisk in Harry Potter is, I feel like if you made it bioluminescent... Yeah.
And then just fucked it into a lake.
Very similar.
Dusted. Perfect.
It's very similar to what, like, this is described as.
Yeah. It's the same, like...
aesthetic.
Yeah, it's the same way and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I wonder, did she take a bit of inspiration from the Russians? She might have done. I don't know. In the 1940s, there was various handwritten reports that they saw the beast shoot out of the lake, right up into the sky, and swallow a low-flying Nazi aircraft. Right out of the sky. And then zoom back down. God.
Not today, Hitler.
I was like...
literally just like...
like, I'm one of the allies. So obviously now for sightings like today, they're far less elaborate. Like, not nearly as dramatic as they were like back in the day.
Of course.
So, you know, instead of swallowing whole Mongol armies, Viking hordes and, you know, enemy aircrafts, he's a bit of a shy boy. So apparently people that go to the lake now... as they approach it, they'll kind of see his head at the top of the lake, but it's like he gets scared and then just zooms back down. Bless him. So it's kind of like either he's very aggressive or very shy. There's like no in between, and I'm more likely to believe he's very shy because I don't see any sort of serpent bursting out of the water and swallowing a Nazi aircraft.
Exactly. Either that or he's just shy as fuck when he's like, I can smell your goodness, like you're fine. I'm just going to stay away from you, have a bit of a look, and then fuck back into the sea so you don't murder me like people do.
I hope that's the case. I hope he can sense, you know, the good
vibes.
And
then when he's like, you're a bad bastard, you're after robbing this whole village, or you're, you know, killing millions of people. I'm going to eat you. Plain and simple.
Exactly.
Seems very straightforward to me.
That actually makes not much sense. So the creature is now mainly blamed for like capsizing boats and mysterious disappearances that happen throughout like neighbouring towns, which I feel is very convenient for any serial killers that happen to be like popping through the place. Or do you know if you're like sick of your wife or sick of your husband?
It's always the way though that if there's something like kind of weird in the area that they're like, that's it. It's him. Every single time, even if it doesn't even make sense.
Exactly. In recent times, the identity of it and what it looks like is, like, very heavily debated. So someone think that the Brosnan dragon is actually a giant pike. And then some think it's a mutant beaver.
Oh, stop it. For God's sake.
Oh, my God, I thought the pike was bad enough.
I don't know how we got from, like, bioluminescent scales to fuzzy.
Mutant beaver. Like,
it just...
Oh, God.
But some people actually then just think it's an ancient fish that we haven't got a clue who or what it is. We're on to some science-y bits, so I'm going to sound very smart right now. Some scientists believe, due to the climate, that an aquatic fish-like creature of that size wouldn't be able to survive in that lake. Now, there's plenty of food in it that a mammal could. No explanation as to why, but I feel like that's where the mutant beaver thing might be able to come out of.
Right.
But even even in the lake itself, they found like sea bass,
right,
and stuff like that in there, where it's like they don't belong in the lake, and like herring that is strictly from the sea. So it's like it's very weird. Like their ecosystem actually it's a bit strange.
Mm.
But the lake itself is completely huge, but they have many fractures, so they've no way of actually telling how deep the lake goes because of the various fractures in the cave.
Oh.
So it's that deep. Okay. So they think it could be between like 40 metre to 120 metres. But that's not including how deep the fractures go.
Like, that's a big fucking difference as well.
That's a bit, yeah, exactly. And they've never been able to get truly to the bottom of it.
Did they say why a mammal would be able to survive but not?
I'd say it's just due to the climate and just due to like the ecosystem surrounding the lake.
Yeah.
That they think that it wouldn't be able to support like a fish-like creature. But a mammal-like creature, it could. We're on to the skeptics now, as a fan of made-up bullshit.
Mothman, hot or not?
So, not very avoid. Mothman,
Manor Dutton.
The dragon.
Ooh. Ooh. You'd have to marry a Mothman.
Yeah, I feel like Mothman would be good, yeah.
And then the Kraken could be a bit of, like, that hentai shit.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that by accident one time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the most... I watched that shit by accident one time. I thought it was a movie on YouTube, and I was like, anime. And then I was like, oh, my God. Do you know the one where they snuck into the school swimming pool?
Oh, I've seen it, and it traumatized me.
That is an actual music video. Yeah, we've all seen that shit. That's fucking dramatic. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Jesus.
That is actually...
I was like, oh, what's this? I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that is... Oh, my God. Why did you put that back in my brain? I haven't thought about
tentacle
that.
Tentacle porn is just not the way to go. I'm sorry.
You got... Savannah got me a book about it before, because I told you that story before.
She got you a book about hentai.
No, tentacle porn. I did. I bought her a book about tentacle porn for Christmas, and I forgot I did that.
Oh, my God. That is... Excellent. Some believe, right, that it's just either a malformed animal or a natural phenomenon. But there's actually proof that there's a volcano beneath the lake. So
Oh my God.
More like specific. Can I speak? The Pacific Ocean. Specific ocean. So a specific volcanic eruption that happens in like large bodies of water is actually called a limnic eruption. So this releases a cloud of gas, and the gas itself is quite poisonous, and it's hydrogen sulfide. And what it does, it sweeps from the bottom of the water and it comes out through the top, and it's actually toxic enough if it's in high quantities that it'd actually be able to kill animals and people.
Oh.
So the bubbling water that's meant to appear when you go to the lake might just actually be the releasing of the gases and, you know, not air bubbles coming from the nostrils of a bioluminous fucking lizard serpent.
Same as the Kraken, so...
Yeah, literally, when you were talking about it, it was all clicking in my head. I was like, oh my God, mine's like practically the same thing. And I didn't want to say it because I was getting really excited. So some suggest that the dragon may actually be merely a mirage, because a lot of the sightings have happened in summer. So the surface, obviously, of the lake can cause an optical illusion. So they think that people aren't actually seeing anything at all. But then a lot of like the believers are saying, well, how can everybody have a shared optical illusion? Or why is there so many written accounts of boats just completely capsizing?
But all you need is one person to say, I saw a fucking serpent snake thing. And then everyone who sees a mirage is like, that must be the serpent snake thing.
Still, like, I get that.
I know what you mean, but like, it would explain...
I believe it, but like, I feel like a shared optical illusion is just strange. An excavation of the lake is merely impossible because they actually can't get to the bottom of it, and they don't know how deep the faction goes or actually how many of them there even is. So in the summer of 2002, scientists from the Cosmopolitan Research Association, they attempted to find evidence to support the fact of the legend, and they actually found some evidence. Using echo deep sounding technology, they discovered an anomaly the size of a whole train cart in the water.
Oh.
And it was 5 meters from the bottom of what they thought was the bottom of the lake, but they really don't know. And when they further attempted to identify the mass, they couldn't find it anymore, and it was unsuccessful. So they think that there could actually be a massive creature down there, and it's hiding in the fractures of the cave, or of the cave of the lake, but you're like an underground cave.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really hard to find, because they can't excavate it. They've no way of telling how deep they run, so there could actually be like an ancient creature lying in the depths.
Smart enough to know to hide from men.
How far inland is this lake? Do you know, like, even give or take?
I have the same question.
No, never.
Because
said.
I'm wondering,
all the sources I've seen never said.
Would these cracks, by any chance? Because I would explain the mackerel and the sea bass. Would the cracks run out to the sea?
No.
Like nearly an underwater river situation.
Well, it could be an underwater river. Oh, now I know what you mean. No, like it's literally like it's in Western Russia, but it's in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, Western Russia. Like, I don't think it's actually close to a sea.
Oh,
yeah, that's why they were very puzzled as to why there's herring and everything in it. And that's all there is on the...
Oh, don't carry on then.
No.
Yeah,
there really isn't like overly too much about it, because it's only like there was more sightings of it back in the day, obviously, when people were like far more dramatic.
Of course.
And the only ones now are that like they see it bubbling up and then going back down, so you're not going to really write about that, like, you know what I mean? And then from the excavation in 2002, they haven't been able to find out what the train cart size mass was.
Yeah. Which is crazy, like.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's like I'm looking at it now, and like it's really in the middle of nowhere.
That's what I mean. Like, it didn't look like...
Like, there's a lot of lakes around it. Like, it looks like an area of land that, like, seems to get a lot of lakes.
Mm. Well, that's what kind of inland Europe is like anyway. It's there is fuck tons of lakes here. Like, even, like, Lake Constance, where, like, you know, it's so big, it borders Germany, Austria, and fucking Switzerland. So, like, that is a colossal lake. Like, it is enormous, to the point mm-hmm. where you'd nearly think it's a fucking ocean. So... It could be a case like that. Probably maybe not as big as Lake Constance, but, you know,
it's yeah, I don't think big it is that big.
It's basically a fucking honorary ocean. Like, yeah, the only thing I could think of, now it could be wrong because they are, again, normally sea-dwelling creatures, but since there's other sea-dwelling creatures in this lake...
In the lake, yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's this. Do you know what giant pyrosomes are?
No.
You might have seen like a YouTube video about them, or they tend to be in a few bits of I think they're in Blue Planet actually. So they're basically they're sea worms and they join together to make this huge tube.
Mm.
So yeah, it would move like a serpent.
Oh, I think I do know now that you've said what it's like.
And they're bioluminescent and they tend to live on the surface of the ocean. They can be found at deeper depths, but they tend to be up where the water is warmest. So
right.
I was just like, maybe it's a giant pyrosome.
Imagine it was just like a mutated one or something. Like, if you're taken into the account, obviously that it was, you know,
that it does have a dragon's head and was eating people and yeah, stuff like that. Exactly. But just like from sightings of like the size, shape, and mass of it and the colours.
Yeah.
I feel like it could just have been.
That would make a lot of sense.
It could just have been a pyrosome and people were like, serpent!
It's mad though that there's like, sea bass and mackerel, like to the point that they're recognisable as what they are in the open ocean, that it's not like a case of that the water rose, left them there, went back down, and they kind of have evolved in their own way.
Mm.
Mm. That they're still recognisable as what they
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And that they're just happily
that's
able to
that's
live
what's
there.
Getting me like.
So has anyone fucking tested this water to like check salt content or whatever that this kind of shit
I'm
is?
I'm sure they have
there?
Like the scientists that like, did like the tried and failed excavation really in like 2002, like, but there's no really more detail on a report from that. Like, that's literally all I could get, was that they found a mass and then when they tried to identify it further they couldn't.
It is fresh water.
See, that's why it's boggling the minds of many. Yeah. Like, nobody knows what it is.
Because then it doesn't... I mean, well, it might make sense for pyrosomes. I don't know if they can live in lakes if you were to put one into it, you know? But, well, not one, it's millions, but, like, you know what I mean?
Unless there is some sort of an underground tunnel system.
Yeah.
There could be, because, like, that, if the fractures like, run that deep, there's no saying that in that there is one.
There's a lot of places where you can see, like, I don't know where it... I can't remember where it is, but in rivers, for example, it happens that like if the river is fresh water and it flows to the sea, like you can like they meet and you know they don't just become one.
Yeah, you
salt
can
water.
See the separation of the two.
Yeah.
Like if that happened underground,
quite
and like
yeah,
you know
possibly.
Salmon can live in both.
Yeah, and they just kind of got like
maybe these
into
fish
it.
Just. But then, like for these fish to go underground for such a long distance is mad as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because for the amount they'd have to travel to get to the nearest ocean, like.
Unless locals back in the day brought, you know how people stock their lakes with fish that they like catching?
Yeah.
Like people will stock lakes, like quarries and stuff with trout and pike.
And they just thought they'd take
their
chances.
Why the fuck would you put in
sea bass?
Yeah, exactly that.
And mackerel.
Would survive like.
Mm. I don't know. It is an interesting one for sure.
That is
like
so
you can explain it away.
Lizzie's
like,
so proud of herself. She's like,
I love leaving the minds boggled.
That's mad. Every
I don't understand
like,
it.
Like, doesn't
like,
make sense.
I just I could say
like, the more you try
and
figure
hours,
it out, the more it actually hurts your brain.
Exactly.
Because nothing makes sense.
No.
None of it makes sense.
And literally,
and
like,
that is an actual fact. Like of the fish that are there, like that's not of like oh someone
and
said
they don't
there
know
is, like,
how they're surviving there.
They don't because know how they're surviving there, but they're actually there. Like, loads of people have seen it, and, like, there's heavy evidence to support.
Yeah, and
like
you said,
they've taken
videos like,
and everything of that, like...
It's going to be in numbers that it's not just, like, one or two kind of accidentally ended up there. They're in
there's, like, shoals of these fuckers, like...
Yeah.
Lads, we need to go and spend fucking 6 months
in this like, if there's anybody in Russia... Oh, we do have listeners in Russia, so, like, you know...
Yeah, we actually do. Shout out to Russia.
Hello.
Yes, our listeners in Russia, if you know anything about this fucking lake that we're not getting... Because, you know, the internet, it's unreliable.
Yeah.
We need
and I'm not saying I wrote down everything correctly
email
either,
us.
So, like, you know.
Please email us if you know any some, like, sort of details, because this is ruining my life.
Or if you know of, like, any more sightings, like, if you... Like, obviously, Russia is a massive country, so
yes. And I know
probably,
you, like the local theories it, like, as to what it is. Yeah. Like, do the local lads
have you
think
heard
that
any
it was
stories about it?
Stocked with fish, or is it like, what the fuck is it?
Well, I don't know why you'd be stocked with fish now, because the place is abandoned.
Yeah.
Like, there's been nobody there.
No, but
for
that
years.
They would just still be surviving, that it would have happened in the past.
Yeah.
But even at that, if it was, if a herring or a sea bass was taken from its natural habitat and fucked into a freshwater lake, it's not going to survive.
It wouldn't survive.
So it can't have been stocked with fish. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, maybe
they have to have evolved in that environment. There's no way around that. No way.
Literally, I know. Yeah. So
it's insane to me. So the email is c.e.s.poolpod@gmail.com. Help us, please. I'm getting a migraine. So
I actually am getting such a headache trying to figure it out. I don't know why I did it to myself.
Good God. Yes, I mean, we could sit here and theorise while this cat screams at me all day. Or we can move on with our lives and hopefully Mothman will love us forever and our serpent will never eat us and, you know, the Kraken will smite all of our enemies. That's the best we can wish for.
Or not eat, as in, like, you know, shit is back out.
Or at least that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, Kraken perfume that people have made from collecting. You know, they like to collect whale vomit and make it into perfume.
Yay!
What do they got? Ambergris. Ambergris, that's what they call it.
So sick.
Honestly. Humans are so weird. But that's a topic for another day. So, anyone got anything to add before we wrap this bitch up?
Oh, yeah, I want a believability scale off of each of you for each of your stories as well. So, Creva, since you went first, we'll do yours. So, I think, personally, like, on the believability scale, as in, like, how real do you think it actually is? Mm-hmm. Or how likely would it have happened? For yours, I'd give it a solid, like, 3. And say that genuinely is the giant squid. And people back in the day were just overly dramatic. And like you said, clickbait. And wanted money.
I tend to agree. I think they saw, like, a giant squid and were like, oh, let's name this something freaky-deaky. Yeah.
Like, the Kraken as we know it now, I think, no.
Yeah.
But I think the Kraken, as what I said, which is just a normal, like what they were saying, they're basically a normal giant squid that just got blown up in everyone's minds.
Yeah, exactly. Savannah's, I'd say.
It's a bit hard, isn't it?
I might up it to like a 5 or a 6.
I was thinking like a solid 6 for myself.
Same, because it's like there's so much detail in the story. Like, there's so much detail to it. Like, there's so many eyewitnesses who all seem to corroborate each other.
Yeah, and the fact that it happened within the space of, what, 2 years, and then nobody had seen it since, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because if you have something, like, to say, like, the Jersey Devil, people claim to see that fucker every, like, couple of months. But if it's, like, something, like, it only happened for the 2 years, so I feel like if people were lying about it, they'd, like, there'd be somebody after to be like, oh, well, I've seen him too. But the fact that nobody has seen him since.
And they'd no reason to pick, to like, a specific time frame, like, those 2 months, like, November and December being the most active times. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot about Mothman that I'm kind of like...
There's a bit
like,
of spook in that one.
There's it's kind believable. Of a thing of like that everyone is kind of... The stories are conflicting, but also...
They line they up,
agree
yeah.
with each
because
other.
Because most of the occurrences were nocturnal, so it's easy for it to be like, oh, I saw it this way, I saw it that way, you know? It's easy for lines
you know,
to get
like
crossed.
How they say if, you know, if police are taking statements off two people, if the story is the same, they know you're lying. Whereas if the story has... minor differences that don't affect the story then it's more than likely true.
Exactly, it's not scripted,
so that's why I'm
that's
like,
what it seems like.
I don't want to say I believe in the Mothman, but I'm kind of like,
at the same time, Mothman very
not I don't want to say I don't. There's more evidence for it than there is for
the Kraken
God.
Actually unless you believe that Jesus appears in toast, then, you know, then we're fucked, because there's far more evidence.
Well, Jesus was a real guy, but whether or not he was a son of
I God. Seen this theory about Jesus, I think one, like, our old history teacher, Savannah, actually told us, and it made so much sense to me. It was like, back in the day, the pipes that they used for their water actually had high contents of mercury in it. So, like, everybody could have been tripping balls. Jesus was a real guy, and they just thought he was performing, like, miracles, but they were all just high as shit, or, like, delusional, because of the mercury.
Or he was a magician.
It would make sense. That this is what I said, is that Jesus used to do magic.
Sleight of hand.
Yeah, old timey magic, well.
And there's also a big theory that Jesus was actually a drug dealer, because there is actual proof that he probably smoked cannabis. So there, yeah, it was theories that he was a drug dealer, and like obviously, you know, everyone would, exactly like Lizzie said, they would just kind of trip and it'd be like, oh, he's magic. But yeah, he is a character in a book, as far as I'm concerned. Be it based on a real person.
Well, he was a real guy, but like, yeah, the stuff he did, yep, is
questionable. Like, I seen Dynamo walk on water, yeah, right?
Exactly.
And obviously that wasn't real, but like, even seeing it on the telly, I was like, how the fuck did he do that? So yeah, if he can, like, if Dynamo's able to do it, I'm sure somebody probably, like, way back in the day probably managed the same thing.
Exactly.
Now, as of turning, like, water into wine, I wish somebody would figure out how to do that now and very quickly. Not that, like, an actual process. I want this to take 2 seconds.
Absolutely.
But shit like that, or turning, like, one fish into, like, 10,000 and stupid shit like that. Yeah. Like, no one's doing that.
Exactly.
Nobody.
And, like, healing lepers and bringing fucking Lazarus back from the dead. Why Lazarus? This is what I want to know. What the fuck was special about Lazarus? What about the rest of the cunts that died around him? Why only Lazarus? That's all I want to know.
I think we should do a Jesus episode.
Jesus episode. Jesus as a cryptid. Let's do it.
Oh my god.
Jesus is
kind
a cryptid.
Technically is.
Yeah, he absolutely is a cryptid.
Hilarious.
And anyone can fight me on that. Lizzie.
Believability, I'm going to give you a solid... I want to give you more than I gave Savannah. But
I
at the same time...
I'm going to give myself a 4.
I don't know, because... Well, maybe not... No.
I'd go like
no.
a solid halfway, like 5. Like, it's half yeah. believable, half not.
See...
Yeah, like, I don't think he's...
It's just because the
sea base
and
the sky or anything like that.
Sticking in my head. But I don't believe that he's, like, as... I think it's the same as the Kraken.
Yes.
Yeah. He's misidentified
he's not
that
what,
people didn't know what the fuck it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether he's Savannah's like, tube worm things, or if he's actually just a massive pike, or if he's...
some ancient
fucking
creature
sea
we don't know
or
about.
A saltwater yeah. crocodile or something mad.
Yeah.
You know?
I mm-hmm. mean, exactly. There was fucking frogs. I don't think they exist anymore, but there was frogs that were carnivores. And,
ew.
Like, that's insane to me. And they're terrifying looking. I will send you on them later. I forgot to send them to you ages ago. I screenshotted them for you, and they're fucking horrifying. But like, if we used to have carnivorous frogs that were huge, like, they were huge... then there's nothing to say we don't have a 16-foot kind of long serpent-y type of fish.
Yeah.
I mean,
true.
Think of the fucking, again, Animal Crossing, the oarfish.
Oh yeah, that hog's massive.
Exactly. The oarfish could be a very good fucking ringer for something like that, you know? So we don't know. I don't know if they're actually called oarfish, but in Animal Crossing they are.
In Crossing, that's
so,
what they're called.
Yeah, it could be something like that. See, I'd give you a 50-50 chance of it being real. For sure.
Yeah, it's like same as the Kraken for me, except what makes it more believable is the whole mackerel and sea bass thing.
Yes, that's
yeah,
the part
that's
that can't be explained
thing.
Away.
Yeah.
Mm.
But alas, I don't think we'll ever know. So unless, you know,
no,
unless Russia loves us enough to get back to us and have like definitive proof. Send us pictures, something. Come on, help us out. We're trying
Please.
To run a podcast here. But yeah, and you know, if you guys want to throw us out what you believe or anything else you know about any of our stories, the usual stuff we say at the end of every week, you know the email. I already said it, I'm not saying it again. So give us
it's
a shout
mouthful.
Yeah, exactly. Also our Instagram and our Twitter, you can just DM us there. I never really think of suggesting that, but it's a possibility, so do that. That's it. I think we're pretty much good to wrap up there. Anyone?
I think so too.
Yeah, cool. In that case, we will see you guys next week for our 10th episode and our first
yeah.
ever guest,
mm-hmm.
which we are really excited to have on. It's going to be a little bit connected to last week's episode, but just in a lot more detail from someone who's actually experienced things firsthand.
Yeah.
And we're very excited. Shout out to Lexi
mm-hmm.
and her love of crawfish. So.
Or crayfish, as she
or
calls
crayfish,
it.
Yes.
Incorrectly.
Depending on who
it.
You want to call it. I mean, she's from Louisiana.
No,
I think
we got it wrong the last time because we
yeah.
were saying crayfish and she said, no, it's crawfish.
She said it's crawfish, yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Quiva calling herself out as well. So, stick with us next week for that, for our first interview, and we hope you like it. It's all things spooky once again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, until then... always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.
How the fuck do you kill a crab like a giant crab?
You can't.
You can't. You can't put that fucker in a
How'd
pot.
How'd you get a pot big enough to boil it?
Oh, those crab legs. Could you imagine the flavour?
I do. I actually don't like crab. So
Alexis would love this conversation.
She would. Shout out to Lexi. See you next week.